Tonight, as I said last night, we're going to talk about how to lead someone to Christ. And what I'm going to present to you tonight, folks, is not the only way to do it. It may not be the best way to do it, but it's the way I've done it for over 50 years. And what I'm going to share with you tonight is the accumulation of, I don't know if you want to call it wisdom, but the accumulation of ideas and thoughts that I have found that work in leading people to Christ. By the way, we do have pass-out sheets down here. If the pastor, somebody wants to get those and pass them out. In Proverbs 11:30, the Bible said, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is," what's the next word? Wise. He that winneth souls is wise. And it's good to witness, but it's even better to win people to Christ. And that's what we're going to go tonight. Not just witnessing, but actually how to, a presentation to an individual, to a person. And the context here will basically be in their home. It can be anywhere. And how to lead a person to Christ. And just several pointers. When I go to try and lead somebody to Christ or talk to them, folks, I never do this. I'm never carrying a full Bible in my hand. I might as well be carrying a gun. You go to someone's door and you're carrying a Bible, you're going to scare them to death. And you can order, for example, from the Sword of the Lord or this other source, the Sword of the Lord, a Christian publishing company, sells very nice pocket New Testaments. They'll fit in a coat pocket or a back pocket, or on a purse, and that's what I use when I forgot to bring it along to show it to you, but that is most helpful. And what I will do, and we'll get into this here a little bit in the material here tonight, I mark where I'm going to start in the Romans Road, and we'll explain that here in a moment. Put a little sticky tab at the bottom of the page, so when I don't have to fumble through my, as I get older, my fingers are not as nimble as they used to be. And so I can just flip it open right now and get ready to actually talk to the person when that time comes. And each verse of the Romans Road, and we're going to talk about that again, is highlighted. I highlight it in yellow highlighter. And so I can see it, and more importantly, they can see it. And I often always try to carry a pen in my pocket so that when I'm sitting there talking to them, I can put my pen right there where it's highlighted. And not only are they hearing the Word of God, as I draw my pen along the verse, they're seeing it, they're reading it. That's just some simple little pointers that you can do. When you make a speech, and I suppose most of you don't get up and make speeches, but a speech, there's usually three parts: the introduction, the main body of what you're going to say, and the conclusion. Same thing in a sermon: the introduction, the main sermon, and then the conclusion. Here tonight, we're going to talk about an introduction, the gospel, which is in the Romans Road, and then the invitation, three parts. And you can see that they're at the beginning of the outline on your page here. And what I'm going to present to you, you might consider to be a little complicated, and perhaps it is. It's not something you're going to walk out of here tonight without some study. You need to study this. And maybe not memorize this, but study this. And it's so important to have a mental roadmap in your head of where you're going to go when you try to talk to somebody. I believe we ought to be prepared in presenting the gospel, and we need to do it decently and in order, not just wing it and by the seat of the pants and hit and miss, but rather have a very specific plan mentally, and here it's on paper, of where we're going to go. And when I have that plan fixed in my mind, I can steer the conversation, because there are many distractions. They may ask you questions, and sometimes they ask questions out of sincerity. Sometimes they ask questions just to divert you. But we need to always come back to the main plan and stay on the track. So it's so important to have a plan. Now, what we're going to do here tonight is go through this, And I'll pause along the way and give you a little analysis of what I've said. And so that may seem make it seem like a little more complicated, but I want to give you the rationale and the philosophy behind what we're doing. And so I'm going to go talk to my friend. For example, last summer I sat down with my neighbor one door over, a man I've been witnessing to for 30 years. And he's always stiff-armed me. I mean, friendly, but he was not interested. He'd been a Jehovah's Witness, and then or been a Catholic first, and then a Jehovah's Witness. Got burned in both places, and he really just wanted to have anything to do with religion now, quote-unquote religion. But every context will be different. But here's a basic outline for you to follow in your head in leading a person to Christ. And so, first of all, we're going to talk about this introductory comments. And it's important. So you go to talk to somebody, and if it's possible, it's not always possible, but if it's possible, and I see a kitchen table there or a dining room table there, I'm going to call the prospect here tonight, John. You'll hear me talking about John all through this. I'll say, John, do you mind if we sit down at the table? And sometimes it doesn't work. I led my nephew to Christ a year and a half ago. He was out on a sidewalk in front of a restaurant. And so it sometimes doesn't work. But it's helpful to sit down, and then you put your soul-winning New Testament. I'll pretend this is my soul-winning New Testament. I can sit it down in front of them, and they can see the verses as we are going. It's helpful, and what we're going to present is the Romans Road. Five verses, and Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:9, and 10:13. It's helpful to memorize that. Sometimes you get a mental block. I was presenting the same message here several weeks ago, and I had a mental block. I couldn't remember a verse. But it's good to memorize, and there will be distractions. The phone is going to ring. The dog is going to bark. The kids are going to scream. Sometimes they won't turn the TV off. And it's most helpful if you've got it in your head, the basic scripture. And when you turn your New Testament upside down for them to read it, you're going to have to know it by heart. Because it's not easy to read upside down for you. So that's a pointer. But anyway, so three broad thoughts here tonight. First of all, the introductory comments. So I sat down with my neighbor, and his name, by the way, is John. And so I begin with some general comments. We can talk about the weather. It's rainy or it's dry or whatever. I mean, you can always talk about the weather. You can talk about something you saw in their yard. You can talk about their dog. Well, you got a cute little dog there, John. It's good to try and talk about them and not about you. You really have a nice house here, John. You really kept this place up nice. Or, I really like your car out there, John. Or I like that motorcycle I saw in the garage, John. I mean, something you can compliment them about. Now, if you go in and the house is a total dump, don't say, boy, you sure have a nice place here. I mean, people will see through a phony compliment. But try to find something you can sincerely compliment them about. You see, you're going to have to basically win them to you before you're going to win them to the Lord. And so, general conversation. Talk about anything, but try and find something to compliment. I remember years ago, and I think it's here in your notes, I'd gone to a door, and it was summertime, and I was talking through the screen door, and they did not invite me in, and it was apparent they didn't want me to come in, but I could see behind the screen door, there was a picture on the wall in the hallway there that it looked like a military graduating class. Somebody graduated from something or other in the military. I said, wow, that's a neat picture. He said, come on in. I was talking about them. I was in another place, and the guy had deer heads mounted on the wall in his family room. And I said, man, tell me about how you got that one. It broke the ice. So look for something to try and talk to them about and hopefully compliment them. All right, so there is that general conversation. All right, but let's move on to the next thing. And that is religious conversation. Again, we're all in this matter of introduction. We haven't gotten out of there yet. And we're making a transition now, a gradual transition. And so I say, hey, John, what church background are you? And he'll tell me in this case, and I already knew, but he told me he'd been a Catholic and then a Jehovah's Witness, and he got burned by both. But they may say I'm Lutheran, they may say I'm Catholic, they may say I'm an agnostic, they might say I'm an atheist. I mean, they're going to tell you something. They may just say, I'm nothing. And there's a lot of that in our world today. They're called nothings. You know, they don't belong to anything. And regardless of what they say, listen to what they say. But we're moving on to the next thing here. So we go from general conversation to religious conversation. We're starting to bridge now. And the next thing is spiritual conversation. And this is where the bottom of the, I think it's the second page. Those pages aren't numbered, or are they? No, they're not numbered. Spiritual conversation. And now we're getting ready to ease into the gospel. And so here are several, and if you're going to memorize something, this is something to memorize. Several leading questions to help you ease into the gospel. I remember years ago, I'd go and knock on a door and say to the lady or the person at the door, have you received Christ? Oh, yes. When did you do that last Sunday? When I was at Mass. Catholics believe that when you go to the Mass, you know, they take the cup and the bread, they're receiving Christ. That's not a good lead question. Or are you a Christian? Well, the Mormons call themselves Christians, and the Catholics and the Jehovah's Witnesses all call themselves Christians. So that's not a good lead question either. But here is a very good question you can ask anybody. I don't care if they said, I'm an atheist, I'm an agnostic, I'm a nothing, I'm a Lutheran, I'm whatever they tell you. Regardless of what they tell you, let's move on to this. John, do you mind if I ask you a question? If you died today, do you know for sure you're going to go to heaven? Now remember that. And I'll usually preface this by saying, John, can I ask you a question? It's not necessary to say that, but just it's a little more courteous. And John, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And you're going to get all kinds of answers. Most of the time you're going to hear something like this. Yes, I think I would. Yeah, I think so. I've been a pretty good person, and I go to church sometimes. And that's kind of the general answer. Or the guy may say, I told you I'm an agnostic. Or the person says, I really don't know. Occasionally I'll have someone tell me, no, I don't know. They're honest. But most people kind of fudge and try to please you and say, yeah, I think I'd go to heaven. But regardless of what they say, they say yes, they say no, they say maybe, they say I told you I was an atheist. I go on to the next question, or point here, point three. And is, well, John, years ago I found out that I could know for sure that I was on my way to heaven. And could I take a few minutes and share that with you? This is so important, these two questions. You know for sure you're on the way to heaven. And then years ago, or whatever, some folks it's weeks ago, but years ago I found out that I could know for sure that I was on my way to heaven. Could I take a few minutes and share that with you? Let's all say it together. Years ago I found out that I could know for sure that I was on my way to heaven. I don't hear you. Could I take a few minutes and share that with you? Still didn't hear you.
Try it one more time.
All right. Years ago, I found out that I could know for sure that I was on my way to heaven. Could I take a few minutes and share that with you? Now, I'm not saying, John, could I preach to you now for the next half hour? Because they'll say no. But I'm telling them something happened to me. And could I tell you about it? John, years ago, I found out I could know for sure. Could I take a few minutes and share that with you? And sometimes it's good to say a few minutes because people are scared you're going to preach in a sermon. Could I take a few minutes and share that with you? And usually they will, just out of courtesy, allow you to tell them what happened to you. And so this is a very important stepping stone. That's why I kept stressing it here. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven, regardless of what they say. Unless they say, yes, I got saved and I know, I trusted Christ, then, you know, you've got the right answer. But almost never you'll get that right answer. Years ago, John, I found out that I could know for sure that I was on my way to heaven. And could I take a few minutes and share that with you? And again, I'm stressing this and stressing this and stressing this, because this is where you're going to get into the gospel. It's very easy for them to say no. I mean, under other circumstances. But if you ask them, could I share something that happened to me, usually they will allow you to tell them. And so this is your introductory comments. Remember we said there's 3 points, the introduction, the main body that we can talk about, and then the conclusion? The introduction. And again, it's summarized here in the next page. General conversation. Talk about whatever, hopefully compliment them. Religious conversation, which basically is what's your church background. And whatever the situation is, they'll tell you. I may be a nothing, or they may be whatever, but they'll tell you. And then the spiritual conversation. If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? And could I take a few minutes and share what happened to me years ago? I'm just abbreviating it here. And so, this is so important to break the ice. And now you're ready to get into the gospel with them. And it's so easy for them to say no. Like I would say, are you a Christian? Or have you received Christ? Or, those kind of questions or answers will backfire. But what I've just shared with you here, most of the time works. Most of the time, they'll let you go forward. All right, so the Romans Road. There are 5 verses in the Romans Road. Like I said, in my little soul-winning New Testament, I've made mark page 1 of Romans 3:23 with a little yellow sticky tab so I can take my finger and flip there right now. I'm not fumbling around, John. I'm trying to show you here. I'm right there. And I've underlined or highlighted each of the 5 verses with a highlighter. Now, if you're not quite sure what you're doing, I mean, you're somewhat of a novice still, or you're just getting going, and here's what I strongly suggest you do. At the bottom of the page for Romans 3:23, you write the next verse, which will be Romans 6:23. Put that at the bottom of the page, 6:23 or Romans 6:23, whatever. Because it helps you, like I say, it's so easy to get flustered or distracted or you get something happens and to get you off your train of thought. And so if you have it written on the bottom of the page, it'll help you to remember. And then at Romans 6:23, the way I present the Romans Road, we go back to Romans 5:8. And so I put that on the bottom of the page. And then below Romans 5:8, the next place I'm going to go is Romans 10:9. And so I put that there, and then to verse 13, which is just several verses away. So that is a helpful tip. It'll help you because like I say, you may be nervous, and that's normal, that's natural. And there, the devil will often see to it that there's distractions. I mean, I've been in places where there's a dog gnawing on my foot or a cat trying to climb up my leg or, all kinds of stuff going on. So it's very helpful to just give yourself these little pointers. All right, so in the Romans Road, we have basically 2 objectives. One, we want to show them that they are lost. That's very, very important. A person rarely will get saved unless or until he understands that he's lost. He's on his way to hell. And so, and I'll often say, John, the first couple things I'm going to show you, you might say, are kind of negative. But then we'll get to the positive. But Romans 3:23 and 6:23 talk about their sin and the penalty of sin. And so we want to show them, as we're presenting the gospel, number one, that they're lost. And number 2, that Jesus saves. And that's basically summarized in the Romans Road. All right, so it's here in the before you here. Go into the next page. And so I've asked John, could I take a few minutes to share with you? And he said, okay. And so I turn to Romans 3:23, and I'll say, now look, here, John, I'll take my pen, and there on the verse, and point right to it. And so John here says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, here's what I'll do. I will define my terms. Most people have a very vague idea today of what sin is in the world that we live in. I mean, to most people out in the world, sin is if you're a bank robber, or you're a guy who's out doing mass shootings, or someone who assaults a woman sexually. I mean, that's sin, okay, to them. But since they don't do that stuff, I'm pretty good. And most people think they're pretty good. And we need to show them that they are a sinner. And so first of all, we show them in the text there, John, right here it says, for all have sinned. And I'll say, John, sin is anything that's not right. Sin is anything that's wrong. Sin is anything that violates God's commandments. I'm just winging it here, I'm embellishing a little bit, but explaining what sin is. And I think just about anybody, you can explain what sin is. It's what's wrong. It violates God's word. And it says all have sinned. And I'll say, John, that even includes me. That's preachers included. If it's me, I'm the pastor, but you're not the preacher. But that includes me. And that's important to say so they don't think you're holier than they. Now, all have sinned. We all. And John, let me illustrate it this way. Let's suppose that a person sinned three times a day. And I think that, John, that's not only possible, I think that's probable. I mean, we can sin by what we say, and people know that, you know, bad words come out of their mouth. We can sin by what we do, and people know they do wrong things. And we could even sin by harboring evil thoughts. And you don't have to elaborate on all that. But John, let's just suppose that we sin three times a day. In the course of a year, that's over 1,000. Take 365 times 3. And then multiply that by how many years old you are. And John, all of a sudden, we're talking about tens of thousands of times we have broken God's laws. They have never thought about it like that, I guarantee you. And I'm trying to help them understand that before a holy God, they are guilty of sin. And I don't have to, you know, elaborate and go on and talk about the definition of holiness and all that sort of thing, but I'm just saying that to you. And it's good, and if I can just get another sidebar in here, to use the scripture at hand, but don't use a lot of scripture. Conciseness is a virtue, verbosity is not. Being verbose, using lots and lots of words or lots and lots of scripture. Stick to just the main points. You go through these five verses in the Romans Road, they're going to think you quoted the whole Bible to them by the time you're done. And so you can clearly overdo it. Just stick to these five verses, and we'll allude to several others without turning to them. And so, John, the Bible says we've all sinned. That's the first verse. And so now we go to Romans 6:23. Hope you got that written at the bottom of your page so you remember to turn there. And notice here, John, in Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." And I don't say this, but I'll say it here, hit the pause button. And sometimes we'll even say that, let's hit the pause button. People can relate to that. It's good to just use the salient portion of the verse at hand. Now, we're going to get to the rest of the verse here in a minute. But it's good to just focus on the salient part, the part that's germane to what you want to talk about. The wages of sin is death. John, a wage is what people earn. They go to work and make X amount of dollars an hour. And the Bible says that the wage or the payment or the penalty for our sin is death. And elsewhere in the Bible, I'm going to allude now to Revelation 19. Elsewhere in the Bible, John, the Bible says there is a second death. And that second death is the place that we just commonly call hell. And I'll sometimes say, John, it's a real place. The Bible clearly teaches that. In fact, Jesus had more to say about hell than he did about heaven. And so what I've done here, again, is define my terminology. I've talked to him about what a wage is. And I've talked to him about what death means here in Romans 6:23. It's good to define your terms and explain as you go on. Don't assume that you know the gospel and you hear it preached every week and you understand it, but don't assume they do. And so you need to be word by word explain where you're going. The wages of sin is death. And so, John, so far we've seen bad news. We've seen that we are all sinners. And the consequences, the wages, the penalty for our sin is death that ultimately is in hell. John, that's the bad news. Now, I'll usually point that out. And like if I hadn't already pointed out, but I'll tell them we're going to have the bad news before we get to the good news. But John, here is the good news. And notice the second part of the verse here. Point to it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John, a gift is free. My wife's birthday was just last month, and I got her a gift because I love her. She didn't have to pay for it. She didn't have to earn it. I gave it to her because I loved her. Or if Christmas time is here, you can use that as an illustration. Or somebody's birthday is coming up here in a month or two. I mean, you can use that. I think it's time for a little more medicine here tonight. Got a fresh can, by the way. The gift of God is eternal life. John, eternal life is the same thing as going to heaven. And you see, to you and I, that's just, you know, that's a given. Eternal life is heaven, but that may not be with them. And we get to Romans 10, it's going to talk about being saved. Well, to us, being saved and going to heaven and having eternal life all means the same thing. Don't assume that they understand that. And so John here, it says, the gift of God, it's free, is eternal life. It's going to heaven someday. And it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Folks, it's right there in the text. If you just follow what the verse says, you can pretty well, know what to say. And just explain it word by word. It's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not through the Baptist church or any church. It's not through getting baptized. And many, many people think that they're going to go to heaven or the way to heaven is by getting baptized. It's not through baptism. It's not through being a good person, John. It's through Jesus Christ, God's Son. And so let's go to the next verse, and that is Romans 5:8. And I'll turn back there, and it'll be highlighted in my Bible, and my New Testament, I'll turn it there where they can see it. And notice, John, here it says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. John, that word commendeth means God has demonstrated or God has shown his love toward us. And John, God loves us. And I might just briefly insert John 3:16 there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'll sometimes interject several, adjunct verses as I go along. But God commendeth, God has showed his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And John, about 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as you may know, went to that cross there outside of Jerusalem, and there he was crucified. Another verse in the Bible, and I'm not going to turn to it, but I'm just alluding to it, and that is Isaiah 53. And John, the Bible says elsewhere that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And iniquity means sin. I'll explain that word. That day as Jesus hung on the cross, God placed all of my sin and all of your sin upon him. And he died for us. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a wonderful thought. So again, I've defined my terms. Define the word commend, and it's good to bone up, touch up a little bit if you're not sure what that means. And point out that Jesus died in our place. And so let's turn over now to, I'll turn over to Romans chapter 10, the next verse. Notice here, John, and I'm not going to leave Jesus hanging on the cross. But notice here, John, we read in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now again, I'm going to define terms here. The word saved, John, is referring to being saved from going to hell. It means saved so we can go to heaven. It's saved so you can have eternal life. These words all refer basically to the same thing. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and I'll particularly focus on that next phrase, and believe in thine heart. The key, John, to going to heaven is believing on Jesus Christ, believing from our heart, not from the top of our head, but from our heart. If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then I'll move right on to the next verse, Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, and I'll say, finally, John. They like to hear a preacher say, finally. You like to hear your pastor say that? And the soul winner, or the person you're talking to, likes to hear that. I mean, sometimes they're getting, you know, fears that this is going to go on and on and on. And people are busy, and they, you know, you are imposing on their time. Finally, John, here's the last verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And again, that means being saved so that we can go to heaven. Saved from the penalty of sin. And at this point, I usually will take just a minute or two and briefly share my testimony. And that is years ago, John. One day, I, in simple faith, prayed and asked the Lord to save me. And that day, the bells didn't ring and the lights didn't flash and there was no thunderbolt. But that day, the Lord saved me. That day, I trusted Jesus. That day, I put my belief in Jesus. And notice, John, it says, thou shalt be saved. It doesn't say you might be saved, or you could be saved, or you may be saved. What's it say, John? I'll often ask him, what's it say? Shall be saved. And sometimes the light starts to go on then. See, faith is simply taking God at his word. And so I've gone through the five verses of the Romans Road, and at the end I just gave a very brief testimony of how I got saved. I didn't go into any of the great details, but just briefly, years ago, John, I asked the Lord to save me, and he did. And I might add, he began to change my life. And so now we've gone through the main body of the gospel, in this case, the Romans Road, the five verses. Each point we try to define our terminology and explain just a little bit of what it says, just line by line. You know, you don't have to memorize all that, just there. You just read the text. Romans 3:23, sin, what sin is. And Romans 6:23, the wage, what a wage is, and eternal life, what that is. And it's in Jesus, or through Jesus Christ our Lord. And, you know, just explain the verse as it is. You can do that. And so remember we said in the broader scope, the broader outline, 3 points. Number one was the introductory comments. We talked about that. Number two is the main message. In this case, we're using the Romans Road. Number three now, in the broad concept, is the, you could call it the conclusion, but in this case, I'll call it the invitation. Because now we're going to start to try and bring things to a point of decision, and where they're going to have to say yes or no. They'll say, yes, I want to get saved, or they'll say, no, I'm not interested. And sometimes they do. And so, now we're at the third major thought here, and that is, I'm calling it the invitation. If you want to call it the conclusion, that's fine. And so I ask a number of questions, and this maybe is not as crucial as the first several questions I gave you. But I just found these little questions to be helpful. I mean, I'm not saying you've got to do this or it's a must. It's helpful. And so I'll say, John, what we've talked about here for the last several minutes, does that make sense to you? And I'll listen not only to what he says, but more importantly, I'll listen to how he says it. And if he says, oh yeah, I've heard that before, that's not a good sign. Even if he says, yeah, I've heard all that before, I mean, he's not out of conviction, folks. But if he says, you know, yeah, that does make sense. And he seems very sober and serious. That's a sign to me to move forward to the next point or the next question. And so that next question is, well, John, would you be willing to ask Jesus to save you? I'm putting it up to him straight now. Now we're getting close to a point of decision. I mean, it's going to be yes or no, up or down, yay or nay. John, would you be willing to ask Jesus Christ to save you? And here, they might hesitate. But we're going to move on to the next question. Hopefully they'll say yes. But I'll move on to the next question. John, if I would help you, or would you be willing to... I'll say something to the effect, if I would help you or lead you in a simple prayer. I'm not following the notes here exactly. Okay, here's the next question I'll ask him. Would you be willing to do that right now? Now it's come down to a point of decision. And here often is where they'll fudge and hedge and hesitate. And the problem is not that they may not be willing to do it because they're not sure what to do. And we're talking about having them ask the Lord to save them, which means praying. I mean, praying out loud in front of somebody. And that terrifies some people. And so I'll say, John, I'm at point D here at the bottom of the page, if I would lead you in a simple prayer to help you to receive Christ, would you be willing to do that if I help you? Hopefully they'll say yes. And if we've come this far, usually they will say yes. I mean, otherwise along the way, the stoplight may have gone on earlier. But, so let me just rehearse this. John, does this make sense to you? And I want to listen to what he says. And if he's serious, would you be willing to ask Jesus to save you? Next question, are you willing to do it right now? And they usually hesitate. And then I'll say, well, John, if I could help you, lead you in a simple prayer, these words are not crucial, but the thought is, if I could help you to pray a simple prayer to ask the Lord to save you, would you be willing to do that? Hopefully, he says yes. And so, we're on the next page now. Okay, John, here's what we're going to do. We're going to tell the Lord that you know you're a sinner, and you want to ask him to save you. I tell him in advance that we're going to pray, so he has some sense of what's going on. And I say, John, is that what you want to do? Yes, okay. And then, and at any point, he can say no. But hopefully, he's going to say yes. Well, let's pray, John. Let's bow our heads. And so I'll pray a very simple prayer, and I'll space it out. Dear Lord Jesus, I say, John, I'll repeat after me. I'll say, Dear Lord Jesus, and you'll say, Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And you'll say, I know that I'm a sinner. Please save me. And hopefully you'll say, please save me. I now receive you. And now you don't have to do what I'm going to tell you next, but I do it, and I think it's helpful. After I've led him in a simple prayer, I'll say, now, dear Lord, thank you for John and that he has asked you to save him. Please make yourself very real to him and help him. And then, and again, you don't have to do all this, but again, I think it's helpful. At the bottom of the page, I'll say, John, did you really mean that? And again, I'm listening not so much to what he says, but how he says it. If he says, oh yeah, I've done that before, that's not a good sign. But sometimes you get that. But he says, yes, I really did. Oh, I had one guy years ago, I went to see an old high school classmate. And went through the gospel with him like we've done here. And after we got done, and he prayed a prayer, the sinner's prayer. And I said, his name is Lee. I said, Lee, did you really mean that? He said, no. Well, at least the guy was honest. So then I'll say, next page here. Well, that's wonderful, John. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Okay, that's wonderful, John. If you died now, do you know for sure that you go to heaven? And usually you're going to get something like, well, I hope so. You know, kind of a weak, I hope I will. Well, you're talking to an infant Christian. And they don't have assurance yet. And so I'll go back to Romans 10:13 and show them, John, here in Romans 10:13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Now, did you just do that? Yes. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, John. Does it say may be saved or could be saved? No, what's it say, John? Shall be saved. And I said, that's God's word. God isn't lying. And the reason that I know for sure that I'm going to go to heaven someday and that I'm saved, because it says it right here. Years ago, I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. It says, I shall be saved, period. And John, that's how you can know for sure, because God said it. Faith is taking God at his word. And so then it's time to do some very brief promise, or follow-up, I should say. And I say, John, here's, and let me just pause here and say this. You've gone through the Romans road, and you've probably shared a verse or two, maybe John 3:16 along the way, or you threw in a snippet from Isaiah 53, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so you've given him 5, 6, 7, or 8 verses. To many an unsaved person, it sounds like you've given them half the Bible. And so I don't try at this point to go into a lengthy, you know, we're going to start the discipleship program. The only thing I want to help him at this point is to understand that he has assurance of his salvation. And I'll say, now, John, today is April, what is it, 8th today, 9th today? 9th today. Remember that, April 9th, 2024. That's the day you ask the Lord to save you. And if he has a Bible there, I'll say, let's write that down in the fly leaf. April 9th, 2024, I receive Christ. That's good to do. But I'll give him just some simple follow-up. And that is, John, here's two things that are really important. And we can talk about more of these things later. But one, you need to start to read your Bible every day. And I would suggest you start reading in the book of John. And try and read at least a chapter a day. And then the second thing, John, is God would have you to be in a Bible-preaching church. And I happen to know that Faith Baptist in Carrington is a good church. And why don't I pick you up on Sunday and bring you with me? A lot of times folks are very nervous about going to a place where they don't know anybody or they just know you or to go on their own, but it's better rather to invite them than to take them. Why don't I stop by Sunday morning at, Sunday service at 10:30? I usually don't try and get them to Sunday school the first time, but just to the morning service. I'll pick you up at 10:15 on Sunday morning and take you to church. But it's so important to get into church, John, because you start to grow as a Christian. And then, you see, later, that you can, there's be more discipleship and follow-up and so forth and work with the pastor. But every one of you can do what we've presented tonight. It's going to mean a little study. It's going to mean a little memorization. I don't think you need to memorize everything I said, but it's good to memorize those several introductory questions and maybe a couple of the questions at the end. It's not necessary to do all of it. I've just learned that, you know, I throw in some of these extra things that it just helps. But it's not like putting accessories on a car. You know, you don't have to have all the accessories. This is the main thing. But it's helpful, some of these old pointers. So remember, three major thoughts. The introduction. If you died today, well, we're jumping ahead of ourselves. You know, general conversation, religious conversation. If you died today, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. And John, I found out years ago that I can know for sure. Can I take a few minutes and share that with you? That is so important. Because that usually will open the door for you to jump into the gospel itself. And then five verses, Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, 10:13, and 10:9. And you have that marked in your Bible. After it's all done, John, does that make sense to you? And listening to how he responds. Well, John, let me ask you, would you be willing to ask Jesus to save you? Would you be willing to do it right now? And that's where they hesitate, and that's to be expected. Well, John, if I would help you to pray a simple prayer and ask the Lord to save you, would you be willing to do it? And to lead them through the simple prayer, then I'll eventually say, John, did you really mean that? Listening to what he says. And if you died now, you know for sure, and you'll say, yeah, I hope so. Well, no, you can know so. And so, you know, this is just a simple outline, a mental roadmap in your head. And you've got it in front of you on paper there. If you will study and absorb the greater thought here. Go and read it through several times. And get the flow of the thought. It's pretty simple when you think about it. Introduction, the main thought, invitation. Five verses, and you mark it in your Bible. So you can just go from the next the one to the next. It's good to practice. Practice on your spouse. In our soul winning program, the church, we have a little lesson each week, and then we have people sit down and practice with each other. Practice on each other, and you work out some of the kinks, and so practice, and then when the time comes and you go to talk to somebody, knock on the door, have a smile on your face. My wife always said to me, smile when I'm at the door, and here's another little tip, when I knock on the door, I kind of turn away. You don't want to be staring in the window there, because sometimes you're going to see something you don't want to see, and they don't want you to see. They're in their house. So I'll knock on the door, turn around, and the door opens, and I'll say, hi, I'm Dave Sorensen. I'm here from Faith Baptist Church in Carrington, and just thought I'd stop by and want to thank you for visiting, assuming they had visited your church. Or it's your neighbor, John, hey, I just want to stop by and visit with you. I probably wouldn't add the church part if I was talking to my neighbor. Do you mind if I come in and visit for a few moments? Okay, come on in. And we start to make general conversation and start to ease toward the gospel. And at some point, if there's a table handy, I'll say, do you mind if we sit down? And I have concealed my weapon, the sword of the Spirit, maybe in my pocket, back pocket or jacket pocket. Ladies, you have it in your purse. And then is when you bring out the New Testament. And let me show you five verses here, John. Okay, any questions? Now, let me add another thing, and I alluded to this a little bit earlier. From time to time, you're going to get questions. Well, what about this, or what about that? And you have to discern if it's a sincere question or if they're just trying to distract you. But here is what we've taught our people over the years, to say, John, you know, I'm not sure about the answer to that, but I can get back to you with it. Or I'll say, John, can we put that question on hold, and I'll come back to it in a few minutes. You see, you don't want to get distracted from where you're going, the main train of thought. And the probably the worst thing you can do, they ask you a religious question or a theological question, and you know the answer. And you get off on a 10-minute discourse on whatever they ask you about. And, you know, the devil's won. You're off the track. So I always try to deflect questions, unless it's really germane to the gospel. Well, what about baptism? Or whatever. But I'll say, can I come back to that? So anyway, any questions? Okay, well, folks, study it, work on it. And you know, let me tell you something. You're not a large church, but if one or two of you get serious about this, you can revolutionize your church. And I say that from experience. In my father's church, it became a big church. There were only about two real soul winners in that church. And they won many people. And they were not highly educated. They were just simple, ordinary God's people. They got a burden to reach people. And they prepared their mind. They prepared themselves spiritually. And as I said last night, you know you're going to go talk to your neighbor tomorrow. Or you know you're going to make a visit for the church tomorrow. Pray and pray and pray. And make sure your sin is confessed up, and ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, and ask the Holy Spirit to convict them, and even start convicting them now. And be praying all along the way. It might even be good to enlist somebody to pray for you as you go. Someone back at home or at the church, whatever. We have given you a method and a mechanism here, but prayer is the energy of it. The Holy Spirit. Going out without the help of the Holy Spirit often will be unfruitful. And the key is praying. Praying and praying. And if you get serious, like I say, just one or two people in this church can revolutionize this church. In winning people. Because people don't get saved by the dozens. They get saved one at a time. And that one person gets saved and they get excited, and they've got three relatives they're working on or want you to work on or whatever, and they bring them to church. And one of them gets saved, and there's another whole two or three neighbors and co-workers, and it becomes a tree of life. But it starts with one. And they get saved and they get excited. And don't be discouraged to lead somebody to Christ and they don't show up. Some of the stories I told you last night, the people got saved and they didn't come to church for another 6 months. And of course, we'd work on them, go back and visit them and try and stir them up. But finally, the Holy Spirit got a hold of them, and then he started to grow. So don't get discouraged. You see somebody make a profession and they don't show up. Just keep working on them, keep praying for them. I led my neighbor to Christ last summer. He hasn't come to church yet. He said he's going to come on April 21st in 2 weeks, which is our church anniversary. And we'll just keep working on him. So just keep on keeping on. Father, thank you for the privilege of explaining how to present the gospel and help these dear people to take it to heart and memorize and work on this and begin to lead people to Christ here in Carrington. Thank you for their good pastor, and bless him and his ministry here. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.